All right, then. There is one change which I think would allow us to show that things could be different. It is not a small change, or an easy one, but it is possible. What is it? We've been using the analogy of waves. Well, now I'm coming to the largest wave, but I'll make my suggestion anyway, even if it is literally the laughter of the waves which is going to engulf me in ridicule and humiliation. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Tell me. There is no end to suffering, Glaucon, for our cities, and none, I suspect, for the human race, unless either philosophers become kings in our cities, or the people who are now called kings and rulers become, in the truest and most complete sense of the word, philosophers. Unless there is this amalgamation of political power and philosophy, with all those people whose inclination is to pursue one or other exclusively being forcibly prevented from doing so. Otherwise, there is not the remotest chance of the political arrangements we have described coming about, to the extent that they can, or seeing the light of day. This is the claim which I was so hesitant about putting forward, because I could see what an extremely startling claim it would be. It is hard for people to see that this is the only route to happiness for a city in its arrangements for the private or public life of its inhabitants. My own personal view is that there is no reason to regard either or both of these events as impossible. If they were impossible, we would quite rightly be a laughingstock, since our proposals would just be wishful thinking. Isn't that so? It is. Now, will anyone challenge our contention that it is possible for the sons of kings and rulers actually to be born with philosophical natures? No, he said. No one in the world would challenge that. And if they are born with philosophical natures, can anyone claim they are certain to be corrupted? Even we admit that it is difficult for them to survive. But is anyone going to contend that in the whole of time, out of all those who are born, not one is ever going to survive? How could they? But it only needs there to be one, surely, with a city which is obedient to him, to bring about all the things which are now regarded as impossible. Yes, one is enough, he said. After all, if a ruler establishes the laws and way of life we have described, it is presumably not impossible that the citizens will be prepared to follow them. Not in the least impossible. Is it astonishing or impossible that the arrangements which seem a good idea to us should seem a good idea to other people as well? Well, I don't think so. That they are the best arrangements, assuming they are possible, has been satisfactorily shown by our earlier discussion, I think. Yes, it has. So the position we seem to have reached on law-giving is this. Our arrangements are the best, if only they could be put into effect. And while it is difficult for them to be put into effect, it is not impossible. Yes, he said, that is the position we've reached.